Join me now, please, in the reading of the Scripture. Turn to the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter of Galatians in your Scofield Bible, page 1246. And we'll be reading responsively verses 15 through 20. Galatians chapter 4, verses 15 through 20, page 1246. May we please stand together, all of us standing, for the reading of God's Word. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that, if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. And this 19th verse is the text verse. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. And let's pray. Bless, we pray, dear Lord, this service. Bless the preaching. Thank you for your word and the preaching of it. Now we're privileged to gather in this place freely, and we're privileged to hear your word preached by a man of your choosing. And so bless, we pray, in this hour, and get glory to thyself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Bordway. Thank you, Mrs. Colston. Thank you, Mrs. Godfrey. And thank you, choir, for helping to make our Christmas very special this year with the music. All the way through the Christmas season, it's been sweet and traditional and spiritual. And I was thinking, as they were playing the offertory a while ago, of the number of hours they must have spent just so you and I could have just a few minutes of spiritual blessing. I want to speak this morning on the subject, when the born again get born again, or I could call it, when the converted get converted. Or I could call it, perhaps this is the best title, Let Christ Be Born. There is a sense in which Christ has not yet been born. The Apostle Paul said to the church or the Christians in Galatia, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. This morning I want to leave you with a wonderful truth. I'll not be perhaps as dramatic as usual or as humorous as usual. Maybe not as bombastic, or if I could ever be dynamic, as dynamic. But I want to leave you with the truth, and I want you to open your hearts and minds to it, that I think is appropriate not only for the Christmas season, but for any day of any year for a pastor to speak to his people. I do not know of any time in the Apostle Paul's life when I empathize with him or identify with him as much as I do when he wrote these words, my little children. He said, I travailed for you to get you saved. But he said, I travail again for you till Christ be formed in you. Father, bless the message to our hearts today. Let the people listen carefully. Cause every ear to be tuned and every heart to be tuned and every mind to be alert to this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask any mother which travail hurts the most. That hour when she goes into the delivery room after having been in the labor room and enters into the jaws of death to bring life into this world. Ask her if that was the most painful or if it was more painful when the one to whom she gave birth stays out past hours at night, comes home after having squandered an evening in sin, or squandered an evening in sin, and she waits and hopes and dreams and worries. Ask any mother which hurt is the most. The travail that life be brought into the world, or the travail that that life be happy and completed and plain and pure and right. The Apostle Paul said, I travailed to get you saved. I labored as a woman in travail in childbirth to get you saved. But he said, now that you're saved, he said, I hurt as much as I ever did. I labor again. He said, I travail again. Why do you travail, Paul? They're saved. They're going to heaven. Why the travail? Why the hurt, Paul? Their names are written in the book of life. But Paul said, that's not all I want for my people. He said, I travail till Christ be formed in them. Or in to them, he said, in you. I know something of that pastoral travail. It's time that numbers of us who have our names written in the book of life, let Christ be formed in us. It's time that we decided to live on the spiritual plane instead of on the material, base, physical plane. It's time some of you young folks wrote Jesus Saves on your notebook instead of a vulgar word. It's time some of you basketball players at Hammond Baptist High School spoke about Jesus in the locker room instead of about sex. I mean, there's more to the Christian life than just getting your name written in heaven. There's more to the Christian life than just knowing if you died, you'd go to heaven. There is a formation of Christ in the believer that many of you know nothing about, who've been saved for years, and it's time we realize Christ wants to be born in you, formed in you. And the Apostle Paul said, there's more that I want for you than just to be saved. He said, I want Christ formed in you. I want Christ to be completely formed in you. Now follow me carefully. Paul likens conversion to one birth and one conception. Now don't miss this, because this is sacred, and I want you to hear carefully. Paul says when you got saved, there was one birth. You got born again. But he said there was a second something that happened. Christ, now this is typical now. I'm not saying this literally, but it's typical. Paul said it's like a baby being conceived in a mother's womb. That little baby is just an unformed creature with no arms and no legs and no ears and no tongue, and it's just the embryo. Now Paul said, as that little baby grows and grows on the inside of his mother, then he becomes formed inside of his mother. And he said, then one day that mother can travail and give birth to that baby that all may see. Paul said, Christ is that way. When you got saved, you got born again. But he said, in a sense, Christ was an embryo in you. Now he said, it's time that you let Christ grow in you, that Christ be formed in you, and that someday you can, in a sense, give birth to a life totally surrendered to Jesus Christ where people may see it. I know nothing. The Bible speaks nothing about giving some of your life to Jesus. The Bible speaks nothing about seeking ye second the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what this old world needs to see in Christmas 1981 is not a babe in a manger. And it's not a little, a few carols in a shopping center. And it's not a stable several thousand miles away. What this world needs to see
is Jesus born in you and in me. I'm not talking about conversion. I'm talking about that Christ, that's what Paul meant when he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's not saying the fact that Christ is in you is the hope of glory. He's saying when Christ is formed in you, as Paul said in Galatians 4:19, when Christ is formed in you, that is a type of glory. That's what glory is all about. Christ being formed in you. So in a sense, he's saying, may Christ be born in you. I know something about that travail. I travailed this week as I heard of some things some of our young people are doing. I travailed this week as I heard, last week as I heard, about some of our men who are in business in the sales profession who took a drink or two in the Christmas season. I know how that hurt Paul when he said there's more to this than just being saved. I know the travail of knowing when some of our people do not live for God, they do not witness for God, whose lives are not clean and pure and dedicated to the will of God. I know that travail. And as pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, for 22 and a half years, I will not be satisfied. I will not be satisfied till our people mature and let Christ be formed in us. This is the birth of Jesus the world needs to see this Christmas time. Christ formed in us so the world may see. When a child is conceived, the doctor tells the wife that she's going to become a mother. Unless the wife tells somebody, nobody knows. There's no apparent change. There's no evidence. You can't tell a woman who's 1 month pregnant. No way. But as that little one begins to form, then there become obvious changes. I mean, the enlargement program began. And everybody can see she's expecting a baby. That's what the Bible is saying here. It's time the heathen world sees an evidence that Christ is in here. That's what he's saying. And Paul said, that travail, that's talking about birth travail. And that word formed in you, Christ be formed in you, is used elsewhere in the Bible concerning the formation of the fetus. And Paul is saying, just like when you have conceive a child, and that babe begins to grow, it becomes obvious to all because that there's a baby coming. And as Paul said, it's time, those of you who've been born again, let Christ grow in you. Let Christ enlarge you. Let Christ occupy more of you so that the old heathen world can say, Christ is in him. You, every lady here knows the little brown patches on the face. You can tell an expectant mother, but the fact that she has to find a door broad enough to go through. She's the one who, when she holds her songbook on her stomach, it jumps off if she doesn't hold it tightly. It's obvious. What the United States of America needs more than she needs to get the bad programs off television is get the Christians off the bad programs on television. I mean, America needs to see not just a baby born in a manger, not a manger scene in the yard of somebody who's trying to celebrate the Yuletide season. America needs to see a new generation of born again, blood-washed, converted people of God who say Christ is in me and I'll let him grow in me and be formed in me so all can know that I'm a child of God, that Christ is in me. That's what the Lord Jesus meant. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 32, when he said to Peter, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, Jesus wasn't saying, Peter, I don't want you to get saved. He was saying, Peter, you're already saved. You're converted. But he says, now I want you to get converted. He said, I want the converted to get converted, just like I want the born again to get born again. And I don't care what happens. I don't care what the town thinks about me. It matters not how many folks don't like it. I will not dip my sails from preaching that the child of God ought to have Christ shining through him The child of God ought to be obviously a child of God wherever he walks. The folks who work with you see Christ formed in you. The folks who go to school with you see Christ formed in you. The folks who play with you see Christ formed in you. The folks who play opposite you see Christ formed in you. The folks who live in your house see Christ formed in you. The apostle said, I hurt like a woman in labor. I travail like a woman giving birth to a baby. I got you saved, but I want you to be more than saved. He said, I will not quit hurting. I will not quit travailing till Christ be formed in you. Every facet of the life of Christ be a part of your life. Jesus said to Peter, thou art converted. Peter was converted. Peter was the first named of all the apostles. He was in the inner circle. And the first named one of the inner circle. You know, I think it's time that God's people decided to live like God's people. I think the Hiles Anderson College ought to be a place of spirituality where Christ is obviously formed in the people. I think Hammond Baptist High School ought to be a spiritual place. And I think the oddballs ought to be those that are not straight. And I think those that are peculiar ought to be those that don't carry their Bible. Now I want to serve notice on you today. If your name is written in heaven, if Christ is your Savior, if God is your Father, if heaven is your home, and the coming of our Lord is your hope, it's time that you decided that you're going to let Christ be formed in you. I think the basketball team ought to say praise God when they go on the field. I mean it. Oh, you say, I mean it. I believe it's time that the members of First Baptist Church of Hammond stood up and said, we are Christians. We're straight. We're squares. We're peculiar. And we're glad we are. And I'll not be satisfied, and I'll never quit preaching it as long as God gives me a tongue and two lips and lungs and strength enough to walk through that door and stand behind this pulpit. We are a peculiar people. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Christ ought to be formed in every one of us. And I was a paratrooper. Didn't have any airplanes those days, but jumped out of trees. We jumped out of C-46s and C-47 airplanes. Now they jump out of the flying boxcars with no prop blast. The propeller is above the fuselage. We jumped out into the prop blast, and didn't jump just right and twist as you went, but those C-46s and C-47 planes, 18 men would jump at one time. I was in a plane years ago flying from Natchez, Mississippi to Dallas, Texas, and I asked the stewardess, what kind of plane is this? She said, it's the DC-3. And I said, it looks familiar to me. I said, what was it before? She said, this is converted C-46. I said, what? She said, a converted C-46. She said, we bought these from the Army. Delta Airlines did. We bought these in the Army. And I said, good night. I used to jump out of these crazy things. I said, don't let me near a door. Now, what have they done? Okay, those C-46s used to have seats faced each other, sort of like a bench on either side. And we'd sit on either side and face each other. Now then, they have seats in front, like this, one behind the other. And there used to be sort of a crude inside with a Army color, Air Force color. But now then, they're decorated inside, beautifully decorated. She said these are converted C-46s. Same airplane, same engine. But now they're converted. And there are a lot of people in this room today who are saved, but you've not been converted. You talk just like you used to talk. You sing just like you once sang. You act just like you once acted. And God is saying, through the apostle, He's saying, I want you to have Christ formed in you. And Jesus said, I want you converted. Illustration. Right across the alley over here. There's a vacant lot. There's a reason that lot is vacant. Ignorance is the reason. Now, we've owned that lot over there for 4 years, almost five. Between 4 and 5 years ago, some demolition people didn't take our advice. And through no mistake of our own, we were as innocent and as pure as the driven snow of wintertime. We told them to tear their own building. Now, we've owned that place for almost 5 years. But hasn't been worth anything to anybody. It's not been converted yet. It's just a heap of rubble. Now, it's not used what it used to be used for. The furniture folks have moved out. Well, they just couldn't come back in. They're gone. It's no longer a furniture store. And the place belongs to us. We don't know yet how much we paid for it, but we know it belongs to us. But it has not been converted. It's not being used for God. It's not being used for good. It's just an old hovel. The old is torn down, but the new has not been built. On the other hand, there's a building over here, used to be a drugstore, right beside it, what used to be Gene's restaurant. We bought those. And we converted those into places for teaching of the Word of God. The deaf meet there. And the Spanish meet there. This very minute, they're having preaching service in the Spanish language over in that building. Now, that building is owned by us. This land over here is owned by us. That building's been bought. We own it. It's been converted. This property has been bought. We own it. But it's not been converted. And there are dozens of people sitting in this room this morning. You're bought with a price. God is your Father. Christ is your Savior. But you've not been converted. And it's time that you did more than tear down the old life. It's time you decided to get converted and be usable for Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, you're born again. Now he said, let Christ be formed in you. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you've been converted. Now be converted. Be used for something else. I grieve more over this one thing than any other 10 things. You think that building program there breaks my heart because of finances? You think that's the biggest load I carry? No, sir. I'll tell you the biggest load I carry. When a report comes to me that a couple of our athletes at the high school have been taking speed, that's what breaks my heart. Tear down the building! I don't care about the building! I'm trying to build lives here in First Baptist Church of Hammond. These buildings are tools. This is a workshop. I mean it, young people. Every young person, hear me. I'd rather see a tornado come tomorrow morning and level that building across the street than to see one young person not living for God. That building is a tool. I don't go across the country bragging on my buildings. I go across the country bragging on my people. This auditorium, I love it, but this auditorium is only in it. This auditorium is no more than like a saucepan in a kitchen. It's like a car in the garage. It's a tool. What is the final work? The whole minute, the reason I live and breathe, to get people saved, and after you get saved, to preach and pray and train so that Christ can be formed in you. So folks can see you're a child of God and see that Christ is there. Which are you this morning? Years ago. Under Napoleon, a young French soldier was shot, and the bullet lodged near his heart. Are you listening? A bullet lodged near his heart. They called the surgeons and the medics to his side in the battlefield, took him to an improvised hospital. They had nothing to deaden the pain while they probed to get that bullet dislodged. And as the young man was laying there, they were probing inside his breast, trying to get that bullet to save his life. He looked up and he said to the doctor, he said, "Surgeon, if you cut much farther, you will touch the emperor. If you cut much farther, you will touch the emperor." The surgeon was getting close to his heart. And this young soldier was so sold out to Napoleon Bonaparte. He was in his heart. Until while he was dying, he realized Napoleon was in his heart. And he said, "If you get much closer, you will touch the emperor." Let me tell you, if a little old soldier in the French army can have Napoleon in his heart, so he talks about it, and so it's obvious, it looks like to me, every single person for whom Jesus Christ died on Calvary, for whom God the Father said goodbye to the Son, for whom the Son saw the backside of the Father and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It looks like 10,000 times more Jesus ought to be in our heart. I'm not talking about just letting Him come in to get saved. I'm talking about once you get saved, let Christ grow in you and be formed in you so the whole world can know you belong to Him and He's in there. Certain kind of a worldliness that's creeping into the First Baptist Church of Hammond. A certain kind of a worldliness that's creeping. I'm not talking about drinking liquor, though that's involved sometimes. I'm talking about being too captured and enraptured with the heathen world. Apostle John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." This is not a matter of whether it's right or wrong. It's a matter that it's of the world. We ought to watch it. Certain kind of a language going on in some of our schools that's not wicked, but it's careless. Somebody said, "I don't like the rules of the high school." There ought not to have to be any rules of the high school. If everybody in that high school was born again and all of that, let Christ be formed in them and was willing to be converted. I mean, so you wouldn't have to have any rules if you love Jesus. You mark it down, folks that don't love rules, that's because they stay so close to the edge, they're afraid they're going to fall off quicker than they would have before. Oh, my heart grieves. I travail. I labor. I want you folks to be more than people whose names are written in heaven. I want you folks to be more than just be a child of God. I want you to be more than just to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you or just have Christ in your heart because you received Him. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I want to so yield myself to you so that Christ can be formed in me." That's what the Apostle meant in Colossians 1:27 when he said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." That's what R.G. Lee meant when he was driving with the coast into the drug, to the airport. Brother Colson driving him. They'd driven out. Brother Colson met him and driven him out to the motel. He'd preached here, and Brother Colson then his chauffeur. They're driving back to O'Hara Field. Dr. R.G. Lee looked up and said to Brother Colson, said, Sir, you remind me of Jesus. Sir, you remind me of Jesus." And John Colston reminds me of Jesus too. You say, "What is it about Him?" Christ formed in Him. Christ formed in Him. He's not content just to escape hell. He's not content just to get to heaven for the skin of His teeth. He's not content just have His name in the book of life. He's not content just to be ready to die so He won't go to hell. He wants more than that. God wants more than that. And I want more than that. And I travail till I can pastor a church of people who are more than just saved, but people who've had Christ formed in them. I'm a poor example, but this illustration bears repetition. I was down one day, A&P store down here before they sold out, on Seoul, other side of the post office. I was getting checked out at this little the fast service, you know, where you have 6 or 8 items or less, and I was getting checked out. A little lady right in front of me had just a few items, included was a bunch of bananas. I guess 6 or 8 bananas on a bunch.
And she was poor. She had on tennis shoes. Very obviously in poverty. So she only had $4 in her purse. I saw her open her purse, and I saw her take the $4 out, and she looked to see if there's any more. There's no more. And the clerk said that'll be, I think she said $4.77 or $4.72. And the lady began to be embarrassed, and she said, she said, I just don't think I'm hungry for bananas. And the clerk swore at her. Female cursed her. Make up your blankety blank mind, she said. Well, she said, I just don't think I'm hungry. I don't think I'm hungry for bananas. I knew what it was. She only had $4, and the bill was about $4.75 or so, $4.72 or $7. And the clerk swore again and pushed the bananas back, and she checked her out, and the lady walked off in her poverty. I took the bananas, and I said to the clerk, I said, I'm hungry for bananas. I'll take those bananas. Now, the deed is not important. What I want you to guess what the lady said to me. I got checked out. I followed a lady down Soul Street about a half a block. She was crossing over there almost to Hammond Tech. And I stopped and I said, ma'am, you forgot something. You left something on the counter at A&P. And she said, what? And I said, you left these bananas on the counter. And she said, sir, I didn't buy those bananas. I said, lady, I saw you take those bananas from the fruit department. And I saw you put them there and you forgot them. And she looked at me and she said, did you buy those bananas for me? And I said, let's just say they're your bananas. And then, as if a light had been turned on inside of her, she said, I know who you are. You're the Jesus man from down at First Baptist Church. You're the Jesus man from down at First Baptist Church. And I drove away weeping, and I said, I wish I were. I wish Christ were so formed in me that folks would say, that's the Jesus man. That's what this old country needs on Christmas Day 1981. Christ in a manger never changed the world.
Wise men bringing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh won't change this country. Shepherds watching their flocks by night, angels singing glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That won't change this country. But let me tell you, the birth of Jesus, America needs to see. America needs to see Jesus formed in the believer and travail until the old world says Christ lives in there.
Say, that'd be a good New Year's resolution for you to decide to get converted. You say, preacher, I'm already saved. I said, for you to decide to get converted.
But you say, preacher, I'm born again. I said, for you to decide to get born again,
Christ be formed in you. Don't get too close. If you come much farther, you'll touch the emperor. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that somebody will get the idea. I pray that somebody will feel, realize the preacher cares. I pray for some of our men who come to church and hear the preacher and love him and love the church, but carelessly behave in the world, will realize that Christ must be formed in them. I pray that some of our ladies who are saved, who love me and love the church, but watch the soap operas and the prime time wicked movies. I pray you'd help them realize there's more to being a Christian than just being saved from hell. Christ wants to be formed in them. Help us to be able to say, don't become much closer. You're going to find King Jesus. I pray that some of our young people will realize it's time they acted like Christians. I pray you'd make our grade school spiritual, our junior high school spiritual, our high school spiritual. I pray that our athletic contests will be spiritual activities. I pray our school activities, our youth department will be spiritual. Christ being formed in us. Our heads are bowed.